under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and the discussion as we face the issues each and every day. It is our prayer each day that the information, the issue covered, will be stimulating to your thoughts, challenging to your heart, and making a commitment to be and do and live as God would have us to do. That is my prayer each day, and I pray that you'll join in the discussion today. We're talking about anti-Christian America. Anti-Christian America. Can you recall some of the days that we lived in yesteryear? Can you recall the difference in America today and just a few years back? Can you recall the America of yesteryear when you grew up? I can recall when I grew up, it was truly viewed as a godly nation. America was still called a Christian nation. At least on the surface, it was a Christian nation. I'm sure it was not to the core, as we would call it. You could drive across America just a few years ago, and it wouldn't be an unusual thing to enter into a small town or a village or, in fact, a larger city or town. And as you enter into the city limits, you'd have a giant billboard there with differing churches named. You know, the different churches in that city, in that county, all listed as you'd enter the city. When's the last time you've seen that? When's the last time you've seen a city, town, or township, or a municipality that's proud of, delighted to display the places of worship, religious centers in their city? America of yesteryear did not have sports and entertainment on Sunday, so that the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ could worship. And the church houses were filled with worshipers in churches of all denominations in the yesteryear that I recall. There was no competition on Sundays. Today, Sundays are viewed as not a day of rest. Sundays are not viewed as a day of worship. Sundays are not viewed as a day that should be set aside for Christians to find solace in the Word of God. We'll talk about that in depth today on this broadcast. And let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, made this statement: "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." In John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." And further, a declaratory statement is made in John 17:17. "Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth." And ladies and gentlemen, Psalms 117, verse 2 says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." How long is forever? It's forever. God doesn't have a clock or a calendar. He doesn't watch the time as we think on it. May I say to you, the truth of the Lord indeed endures forever. It is never ending. You might reject it. You might rebuff it. You might refuse it. You might deny it. You might demean it in some fashion. But the truth of the Word of God endures forever. Truth is not sought today. Truth is rejected today. In fact, it was the secularist George Orwell, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, made this statement: "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." We find that to be true today. we find that truth is no longer sought after. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I've always appreciated the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint's statement when he made the statement that America's decline is linked to the death of truth. America's decline is linked to the death of truth. And then DeMint goes on to say, truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that was Jim DeMint, former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint's statement several years ago, still valued vibrantly true today. And may I say to you that last portion, he said, you need to look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk about that during the course of this broadcast today. We have churches that are closing across America every day. We have pastors that's leaving the ministry at the rate of about 1,500 a month across America. We find churches that are being converted to everything but houses of worship. We'll talk about that in this broadcast today. I want us to examine what America was like, what America is like, and what America shall be like unless we find revival in the hearts and the lives of professing Christians. That's the only salvation. That's the only hope for America today. The only hope for America today is for Christians to be salt and light, as we're charged with the responsibility of being. We're in a society today where truth is no longer sought after. In fact, the latest survey says that 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, each person determines their own version of truth. Now, you can claim it as much as you like. You can deny the real truth as much as you care, but it does not change the truth one iota. You can deny the Word of God. You can reject the Word of God. You can disrespect the Word of God. You can try to destroy the Word of God, but it doesn't change the truth of the Word of God one iota. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And may I challenge us today to do that very thing. Search for the truth, live the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're in or very near the time that there will be the life of the Christian in the crosshairs of the federal, state, and federal governmental agencies. If we stand for truth, we're close to that, and I'm going to talk about that on this broadcast today. We have an administration that hates Christians, hates conservatives, hates God's word, denies the scripture, and is doing everything to pervert and destroy and undermine the fundamental foundations of America. And Psalms 11 verse 3 says, what can the righteous do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. Tools for Time's knowledgeable staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road, right at the intersection of Old San Augustine Road and I-295. There's a 165-foot flagpole, Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does placing in the family of Tools for Time. Toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. www.dailybroadcastministry.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say one more thing very briefly, and then we'll take our first caller. I'm thinking about, pondering about, perhaps you are not old enough to do this. I am, and I'm still under 100. But as I ponder about America of yesteryear, I see a totally different America. As I said earlier, you can drive across the nation in yesteryear and find proud signs by proud city fathers to present the list of the names of the churches, the houses of worship in their cities. In yesteryear's America, you didn't find sports games and contests being orchestrated on Sunday. It was understood that Sunday is set aside for the worship in the house of God with the family of God. The America that I recall at one time had what was called blue laws, requiring stores and shops to be closed on Sunday so that people could go to church. Employers and employees alike could be in the house of God. The America that I once knew, the America of yesteryear, the moral, ethical America of yesteryear, churches were filled on Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday nights, and Wednesday nights. Today, ladies and gentlemen, most of our churches are closed on Sunday night. Most are closed on Wednesday evenings. Many have no services, still doing the online presentation where you can't truly worship. You can be entertained. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today anti-America, anti-Christian America. And I want to hear from you. I believe we have Alan on the line. Alan, go over the question or comment, please.
Hey, Dr. Youngblood, how you doing this morning?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
I am, sir. I agree with you. It's kind of ironic, well, not ironic, but I was scrolling through Facebook the other day, and I came upon this video where it had ex-Christians, or I guess other just people, and they were worshiping in a church, and they were literally posting it on Facebook, the Church of Satan, and they were posting it where they were showing them ripping up Bibles, and it was and just like saying Hail Satan, and it was horrible. And they did an interview with this girl who used to be a Christian, and they were performing unbaptizing ceremonies, and she's like, I get unbaptized the most that I can. We don't worship Satan, it's a metaphor. And I'm thinking, you guys have no idea what you're doing, and the damage, and it's just, it's so, and it breaks my heart, you know, for them to do that and to watch that. And it's, you know, it's happening all over America. But it says, as you know in the Bible, it says, in the last days.
I think we lost Alan. But Alan, if you're still listening, you're exactly right. It should be heartbreaking for every child of God to see what is taking place with the church today. In fact, I've got several articles that, time allowing, I'll touch on parts of them for the broadcast today. Churches all over Europe are being turned into dance halls, pubs, overnight stays for people rather than living on the streets, going into the what was formerly a church for sleeping quarters. But we're finding a major change, a dramatic change in the America today of what we knew of America yesteryear. Ladies and gentlemen, the moral, ethical America of yesteryear, churches were filled, as I said a moment ago, on Sunday. The America that I grew up in, the pastors, for the most part, would preach against sin. Hear me? Pastors would preach against sin. That's a novel idea today. That's unusual today. Recently had someone to make a comment in relationship to expository preaching and the preaching that we do and the ministry message that we carry forth in our church here on campus. And he said, the message was good, the method was good, but the problem is most people are not interested in that today. That's a sad, how would you say, mark against the Christian church today, to say that, you know, if you preach the word verse by verse, chapter by chapter, exegeting, it's called expository preaching, where you exegete the scripture, explain the scripture, and apply the scripture, that's well and wonderful, but people are not looking for that today. That was stated by a Christian that knows what the Bible is supposed to say and do in a local New Testament church. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in an era when we have watched a major, major change in our nation that we call America. At one time, preachers would preach against sin. They would preach against sin of all sorts. preachers of yesteryear, ladies and gentlemen, weren't embarrassed or bothered to preach a message against live-in, shacked-up relationships. They were not embarrassed or bothered to preach against divorce, sodomite lifestyle called homosexuality and gay lifestyle. Preachers of yesteryear were not embarrassed or bothered by preaching a message about lying or cheating, or they were not bothered by or afraid to preach messages against political candidates and those that were liberal and not willing to stand for the truth of God's word. Those who were not honorable, pastors of yesteryear, had a spine, spiritually speaking, that would preach against it today. There's a vast difference, ladies and gentlemen. There's a vast difference. We'll talk about that further in this broadcast today. Let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. I think it's important that you call in today, express what you see as a transition, as a difference, as a change that we see in America today. America of yesteryear. We may have had presidents that we considered liberal. We may have had presidents from the opposite side of the aisle that we were on politically. But this is the first time in the history of America that we've had a chief executive officer out of the Oval Office that is president of the United States that is adamantly opposed to God, opposed to God's people, opposed to God's word, opposed to the Ten Commandments, opposed to morals, opposed to ethics, opposed to values, opposed to and countering everything that the Christian holds near and dear today. We're looking at today an anti-Christian America, an anti-Christian America, an anti-God mentality, an anti-church mentality. Yes, America was viewed as a standard bearer, one that would carry the standard for ethics and values. America of yesteryear was one that had the banner of honesty in elections without fraud. I'm sure there were frauds, some frauds taking place. We just didn't know it. And it wasn't to the extent that we've seen in 2016, 2020, 2022, and on the fast track for the same thing to be replayed in 2024. Now, I don't mind telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm concerned, vitally concerned, about the America that we're living in today. I'm concerned about the trajectory in which we're headed today. I'm concerned that we see anything that's called morals and ethics and values, spirituality and Christianity, being demeaned and challenged and persecuted and prosecuted on a national level. I'm concerned about it. We're going to look at, during the course of this broadcast, article after article after article after article. One, I'm looking at the headlines simply says the subordination of the church to the state. The state that we're living in today, talking about the political system, looks at it as being the authority, and the church must submit to the authority called the state. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's antithetical to anything that's found in the scripture. The Peter, when he was told they could not preach on the streets, said we ought to obey God, not man. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. We find in the scripture that the scripture is very, very clear in Psalms 146, and I believe it's verse 2 or 3, right page, right column in my Bible. We ought not to place our faith and trust in man, that man cannot help. But yet today, ladies and gentlemen, there seems to be a mindset that government has displaced God. In fact, I'm looking at a headline, church body calls on politicians to renounce the sin of promoting transgenderism and the transgender procedures for minors. Ladies and gentlemen, suffice it to say, our nation is in trouble. Now, perhaps you say, why do you say that? Perhaps you say, why is it that we should hear that? Why is it that we should? I'm not trying to focus on what some would refer to as negative. We need to look at what we have done, what we are doing, to understand where we're going, unless the brakes are put on and there's a reversal of what is taking place in our nation today. Ladies and gentlemen, the America that I knew of yesteryear, you turn on the news, even though in early days, you had three channels, and all three of them, you turn them on, you'd have snow. Snow channels. Some of you don't understand that. You turn on the radio and pick up the news. you pick up the newspaper that was even on a daily basis an inch thick with the news, and you basically could trust, for the most part, what was said as news back in the America of yesteryear. People reported the news, not to fabricate the news. People reported the facts. The news media reported the facts, not fabricating it. A media that would broadcast against immoralities, a media that would broadcast openly against murder by way of abortion. You see today, ladies and gentlemen, the opposite of that. We see today where the media simply is the right arm of the Biden administration. We see the Socialist Marxist Communist Network News simply bringing to the public biased information that will cause the transition of thought in the hearts and the minds of the hearer. Ladies and gentlemen, today's America is a nation that seemingly overnight has morphed into a modern, current era, Sodom and Gomorrah. We're now a nation that stands not for truth, but for a lie. A nation that stands not for morals, but immorality. A nation that stands for a lie, not for truth. A nation that stands for the butchery and the debauchery of boys and girls. We're in a nation today, ladies and gentlemen, that stands for that which is called the LGBTQ. I simply call it the Sodomite agenda. We're in a nation today that every decision that the government makes, every law that is passed from the federal level, every rule and regulation and executive order out of the Biden administration is to tear down and destroy, to undermine the morals, the ethics, and the values of a once great nation, a nation that was once referred to as a Christian nation. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm concerned where we're going. Today, we're in a nation where all of your major businesses, shops, and stores are now pushing for the Sodomite month, as it is called. It's the Rainbow Mafia that's pushing the immoral, ungodly, unholy, perverted, pedophile lifestyle on families and kids, recruiting and sexualizing our children. That's the America that we're living in today. It's America today that we're on the fast track for surpassing the immoral, ungodly lifestyle that was found in Sodom and Gomorrah. At your leisure, pick up your Bible. Turn to Genesis chapter 19. Read verses 1 and following. And you find that the Bible said there that all of the men, including the boys, both old and young, all of the men in the city had turned their backs on God and were perverted in their thoughts, thinking, activities, and actions. So much so in the Sodomite lifestyle, according to Genesis 19, verse 25, 26, and following, God called down fire from heaven and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and the plains around it, the scripture says, because of the sin of sodomy, the sin that's called today LGBTQ lifestyle. Ladies and gentlemen, we've changed the name sin and we call it something else. No longer do we call it murder, we call it abortion. No longer we call it a perverted lifestyle, we call it an alternative lifestyle. We're finding the major, major transition of terms today as never before to candy coat, to sugar coat, to change the looks of what is happening in America. We have allowed the Sodomite agenda to control morals, ethics, and values. We've allowed it to control our shops and stores and big box stores in particular. Looking at an article that says, Cracker Barrel goes woke. Historically known for its antique decor, Southern country themed menu, and affordable prices, Cracker Barrel Old Country Store has traded in once family friendly charm for the promotion and celebration of LGBTQ Pride Month. Cracker Barrel posted on its Facebook page, we're excited to celebrate Pride Month with our employees and guests. Everyone is always welcome at our table and our rocking chairs. Happy Pride Month. Including was the post was the photo of a rainbow colored rocking chair in front of the stores. The backlash from conservative families was quick and firm. The Texas Family Project called on supporters to boycott Cracker Barrel, stating a once friendly establishment is now caved to the mob. Texas Representative Dr. Ronnie Jackson also joined in the protest, tweeting, "Bye-bye, Cracker Barrel. I will never, ever eat there again." Ladies and gentlemen, we have Cracker Barrel that's gone woke, formerly a family-friendly store. We have watched Kohl's department store. We've watched Walmart's across the nation. We have watched Legos present and manufacture Legos for the sodomite agenda. We've watched, ladies and gentlemen, as Target stores. In fact, I've got a repertoire of about 37 major corporate names that you'd recognize that's gone woke, as they call it. That would not have happened in the America that I once knew. That would not have happened in the America of yesteryear, where pastors stood in the pulpit and preached against sin, where pastors were willing with a spiritual spine and backbone to stand without fear and without favor, presenting the truth of God's word and calling sin, sin. We have fallen, ladies and gentlemen. It's not the same gospel. The Apostle Paul talked about it in the book of Galatians. It's another different gospel, another gospel, not the true gospel. Not the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what you find today taking place in majority of the pulpits today. This is the reason it is exploding across our nation, is because pastors in the pulpits are not carrying out the responsibility that God called them for. I've called on pastors many times in the past many years on this broadcast to grow a spiritual spine, speak the truth, challenge the listeners, turn back to the word of God, and not having the preaching time be simply a cartoon or a funny paper, as it is called today. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to turn back in our nation to what would be called going back to the Ten Commandments. I'm looking at an article that says the Ten Commandments needed in America for a time like no other before. And it goes on to say, "Know this also, that the law is not made for a righteous man." This is a different translation, but it makes it clear, 1 Timothy 9 and 10. "But for lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers and of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, and for them that defile themselves of mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there are any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine," 1 Timothy 9 and chapter 9 and verse 9 and 10, 1 Timothy 1, 9 and 10. Ladies and gentlemen, I think it's time that we face the reality of where we are. I think it's time we recognize this article further says, it's as if people never heard of the Ten Commandments. We've reached the zenith where they're calling evil good and good evil. If ever there was a time and place for reminding them of right and wrong, it would be now. After all, they've been taken down from schools. They've been removed from universities. They've been removed from government buildings. They've been removed from courthouses, courtrooms, law schools, even churches and synagogues have removed the Ten Commandments today in America. Ladies and gentlemen, I think there's a need to have the Ten Commandments in every classroom. Now, some disagree with that. That's fine. Some have made the statement that even you have the posting of the Ten Commandments, unless there's a changed heart. The idea behind the Ten Commandments being read, being presented, being placed so a student can see it in schools and universities and in federal buildings and state buildings, ladies and gentlemen, is to remind us of the fundamental foundation of America. America was built on the authority of God's word. America was built on the premise of the Ten Commandments. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching today the disintegration, the deterioration, the implosion of Christian America. We're talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, anti-Christian America. And I pray that you'll stay tuned and call others to tune in. We're going to take about a 1 minute top of the hour news break. Right after the news, we'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
V.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The Supreme Court has weighed in on a dispute over the power of state legislatures over elections. The High Court ruling 6-3 that North Carolina's top court did not overstep its authority in striking down a Republican congressional districting map as excessively partisan under state law. Meanwhile, no rulings due today in two major cases before the Supreme Court. Decisions on the Biden student loan forgiveness scheme and on affirmative action are expected later this week. Newly released Senate report concludes that the FBI and Homeland Security downplayed or ignored intelligence leading up to the riot at the U.S. Capitol in 2021. On Wall Street, stocks are higher so far this morning. Right now, the Dow is up 93 points, NASDAQ ahead 63. More details, srnnews.com.
First Conservative Baptist Church invites you to join them for their Independence Day celebration. The Mark 5 Quartet will be in concert with great singing.
Jesus Christ the Lord, open up.
Service starts at 10 a.m., barbecue lunch at 12:30. There's no ticket charge. A love offering will be taken. July 2nd at First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, our issue today, the subject that we're discussing, anti-Christian America. Do you believe we live in an anti-Christian America, an anti-God America, an anti-Bible America? I do. I'm looking at a headline. Biden has declared war on conservative Christians. Subtitle: The Democrats want to fundamentally transform America, similar to the Bolshevik or French revolutions, to purge Christians from public life and abolish religious freedom as we know it today. Last week, in one of the darkest moments in the abysmal presidency, Joe Biden made it clearer than ever. The Democratic Party is coming for Christians and anyone else who contradicts the left's radical abortion and LGBTQ agendas. In a primetime speech on Thursday at Philadelphia's Independence Hall, Biden doubled down on Democrats' latest attack line, declaring his political opponents as intolerable threats to America. And in the context of his speech, he was talking about conservatives, talking about Christians, talking about those that would follow or vote for Donald Trump, talking about patriots in America. And he goes on to even identify that in the context of his speech. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we need to recognize that we're living in an anti-Christian America today. And most of this, if not all, has been promulgated through the Oval Office from Joe Biden and the Biden administration over the past 3 years. We have watched the plummeting of morals and ethics and values at the hands of Joe Biden with a dictatorial, or as Tucker Carlson called him, a wannabe dictator, with executive orders ruling by fiat, not ruling by laws that's been discussed, debated, passed in the House and the Senate, and then signed by the president, but by fiat executive orders, where he's taking laws and regulations, tweaking them, adjusting them, adding new rules and regulations to them, and using that as the fundamental basis of his destroying our nation today as a once Christian nation. May I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the implosion of America. I'm going to read a portion of one other article and then take our next caller. Jay Sekulow, the ACLJ chief counsel, said this: Biden is using your tax dollars to empower anti-Christian forces to severely deplete your religious liberty. It's a surreptitious war that could destroy everything we have fought for in America, end quote. He goes on to say, kicking Christian kids out of federal buildings, confiscating Bibles from kids in schools, threatening to arrest pastors for praying in front of the Chinese embassy, banning churches from using their own property, planting FBI spies in our churches, calling Christians criminals. And that's just the beginning, Jay Sekulow says. How do you handle that? What do you do with that, ladies and gentlemen? Can we still call America a Christian America, a Christian nation? I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I pray that you are.
Doing well. Thank you for taking my call. Outside of prayer and worship to our Lord Jesus Christ, Christians should pray for wisdom and discernment. And one of the byproducts of these prayers for wisdom and discernment, and I'll give an example of it. As a young adult in my early teens, I remember the blue laws, and I remember the commercials that came on the air. And one of the commercials I distinctly remember was, is they can, you can go out and buy shoelaces on a Sunday, but you can't buy a Bible. So when I was growing up, everything was closed on Sunday, but as I became an older teenager, you know, 16, 17, blue laws were eliminated and places started opening on Sunday. And one of the other things that, God has given me that I've often prayed for is remembering events past and how they affect events future. And as Christians, I've often heard you say that we should be mindful of the world that we're in, because events happening today will affect us tomorrow. And that was one of the events where I was thinking, why are they using the Bible to get rid of laws that were keeping people in churches on Sunday? And they were doing it because places like movie theaters and shopping malls could open on Sunday to make more money instead of attending church. I remember coming into my town, and there was a Rotary. There was the 4-H. There were all the churches listed along with the population of the town. And that was right as you came into city limits.
That's right.
And
do you see, Jim, do you see that very much anymore, if at all?
No, because it was the 90s before I got back. You know, I lived here in Florida, moved away, and then went in the military. But it was in the 90s when I went back to that same town. And that sign no longer existed. It was it was gone. Basically, the population of the town side wasn't even there. It used to be every time you drove into a town, that's the first thing you saw.
Jim, it's almost as though, from the political standpoint, for the mayors and the city council members and the aldermen, et cetera, in the different cities, it appears as though they're embarrassed about their churches, embarrassed about spiritual things, embarrassed about the religiosity of any of its people. In fact, I'm looking at an article, Jim. I'll share some thoughts and get your take on it. Look at the fear the Ten Commandments caused in the state of Texas. Now, I'm going to read you headlines from most of the media in Texas, because they're trying to pass a law that will require the Ten Commandments to be posted in their public schools. Listen to the headlines. Thou shalt not post the Ten Commandments. Headlines, Dallas Morning News. Ten Commandments in schools violates the church and state separation. San Antonio Report. The Ten Commandments bill. Thou shalt not play favorites. Headlines, Austin American Statesman News Media. Misguided attempts to put the Ten Commandments in public schools will cost Texas. Dallas Morning News. Public schools would have to display the Ten Commandments under the bill passed by the Texas Senate. The Texas Tribune. Why is the greatest set of laws which Holy God has handed down on Mount Sinai causing so much consternation in 2023? This writer says it is because they might have to be taken seriously. The fact that they still offer the greatest supernatural and divine wisdom ever known to man. What are your thoughts in relationship to the headlines and the dismay simply because of Texas Senate passing a bill to require the Ten Commandments in the public schools?
Well, I can use a Southern thing here. Cockroaches scatter when you turn a light on.
That's right.
So outside of that, sir, I think that's what bothers them the most is you are going to be reminded that we are a nation of morals and we are a nation that was founded on God. You know, John Adams said it, or was it, I think it was John Adams who said, without God, our Constitution and our form of government really cannot exist. It's the great experiment. You know, they've used, God and the Ten Commandments is the foundation for, I think the term is called English law, is what we base our system of justice on.
English law goes back to God's moral law.
Common law.
And then transitioned into what we would call our constitutional law today. Jim, I'm looking at an article, and I think it sets the stage for what is taking place. Here's an article that says, Christian University offered a course on the queer art of drag. Texas Christian University offered a course on drag during the 2023 spring semester, according to their own syllabus. Students in the course titled The Queer Art of Drag met the drag performance and created a drag persona to create a virtual drag performance during TCU's annual night of drag, according to the syllabus. The course is funded by an inclusive excellence grant from the university's Office of Diversity and Inclusion. That's from a Christian University. Jim, may I simply make a statement, get your take on the statement. I believe one of the major, if I could say that again at the risk of redundancy, major problems that we have today that shows us the difference between America of yesteryear and America of today is spineless preachers, spineless Christians that's willing to embrace the world and absolutely defect from the word. Without the Word of God, it's an impossibility to have a moral Christian agenda to be carried forth in our nation. And it's because we're watching the implosion of the churches. I'm looking at a headline, Jim. It says, in Europe, empty churches, prayer and confession make way for drinking and dancing. It's a five-page article talking about the implosion of religion in Europe and the churches are closed. Gigantic brick-and-mortar, beautiful edifices, now becoming bunking stations for those to spend the night, dance halls, honky-tonks, juke joints, beer parlors, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I see the handwriting on the wall, Jim, as to where we're headed in America. In fact, we're on the fast track for it right now. What are your thoughts?
I have noticed that there used to be churches all over the place, and they've become fewer and fewer. Especially in Europe, what a lot of these churches are becoming, they're actually becoming mosques now. The religion of Islam and actually takes a badge of honor for taking over Christian churches and turning them into mosques because they feel they're promoting their religion. I would like to see that college. What would happen, the major meltdown that those individuals would have if you offered a course there, Know Your Savior, Jesus Christ, for credit hours, and offer it for free and see what would happen. They would drum you out of there
and
tar and feather you before you could even step foot on that campus.
The problem is, Jim, and most just as that one, most today are Christian in name only. And it goes back to a fundamental, rudimentary, foundational statement that I've made for many, many, many years. There are a whole lot fewer Christians in the world today than the world would have us to believe. We have declined dramatically, morally, ethically, biblically, theologically, doctrinally, philosophically, politically, socially, economically. I believe as the major, major reason, because we've turned our backs on God as a nation. Jim, thank you so much for your call.
May I?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
One more thing?
Yes.
I had the pleasure 2 weeks ago of meeting Pastor Davis. I just wanted to say that it was my honor, and I felt privileged to meet him in your church there. Wonderful man. Wonderful Christian man. Thank you. God bless you both.
Thank you so much for your call. God bless you.
God bless everyone.
Yes. Thank you for your comments and for your insight. I believe we have Jose on the line. Jose, go over the question or comment, please.
Hey, brother, I got a quick question. You know, I wasn't born in this great country, but I've been here over 30 years, thank God. But the question that I have for you as an American is, you hear all those unhinged loony liberals, when there's something like the Ten Commandments and something that has to do with decency in the schools, they cry right there, separation of church and state, which I hear so many people saying that that's not in the Constitution. How about the perversion that they do it? Is there any separation that we can use it also to protect the kids inside the schools? Because what we see is grooming, and you see adults performing, you know, nudity and all kind of sickening things that I cannot name on the air as an adult myself. So why they can use that to prevent, you know, something so life-changing as the Bible, which teach about, you know, how to be a nice person, how to be a good citizen, how to obey the laws. They cry foul and they quote that. Oh, the separation, church and state. How about us? I mean, that's my question to you, bro. Is there anything that we can do? Mostly the parents, because what we see now is a perversion, an attack on the kids in this country. Do you have any comment about that, brother?
Jose, you're exactly right. One of the things we find, let's go back to your fundamental question about separation of church and state. There's no wall of separation of church and state in the Constitution whatsoever. The thing is that the purpose for the Danbury Baptist Association writing that letter and the answer and response being that there's a wall of separation of church and state, that wall is where the state cannot enter the church's business. It's the reverse of that. In fact, you can go to 2 Chronicles chapter 26, and you find King Uzziah was powerful. King Uzziah had become very famous. King Uzziah was very, very beneficial to the people until he got to the point where he simply had outgrown God, if you will. Simply, he had refused to follow God anymore. In fact, in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, beginning with about verse 15 and following, it made the statement that as long as he was following God, I'm paraphrasing, everything was okay. But he decided that he was going to enter into the temple and offer sacrifice. 81 priests, the chief priest and the 80 other priests, said, King, don't go in there. That's our job in the church. I'm using the word church rather than temple. That's our job, our responsibility, not the king's. The king entered anyway, and God killed him. Now, if you want to look at something where there's a rule, a regulation, or a guideline, a moratorium that says that political conduct cannot take sway or in any way subordinate the church to the oversight of the state or the government, that's one good illustration. Because the King Uzziah thought that he could do it because he was powerful, because he was politically connected, if you will. And God said, don't, through his mouthpieces, the priest, and he did anyway. So that is the first and foremost to recognize that we need to see that the rules and regulations, guidelines that we call our Bill of Rights are given to us to prevent the government. That's the reason the Second Amendment, to protect us from the federal government. The religious liberty is so the government cannot control the freedom of speech and the freedom of religion. But yet, because Christians are bowing to it, and Jose, the sad thing is, Christians are doing that because they're embracing the sin of the world in order to be appeasing to the world. And many pastors are bringing that sin of sodomy into the church in order to have the numbers, nickels, and noses. Because right now, Jose, we're having about 90% of the churches in America. In fact, I forgot the statistical number. I was just reading it yesterday. 90% of the churches in America today have 100 or less in attendance. 100 or less. And we're finding the mega churches, what I call the pop-up churches with pop-up music and pop-up theology, goosebump theology, et cetera, they're being filled because the gospel of Jesus Christ is not being proclaimed. Go back to the rudimentary fundamental question is, what can we do? We need to turn back to God. We need to turn back to His Word. If people are in a church where the gospel is not proclaimed, where the pastor is fearful to talk about political things, where the pastor is fearful to call sin, sin, where the pastor is fearful to call the sodomite lifestyle evil and wicked and to be judged by God, find a church where you can hear the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, where the pastor has a political, spiritual backbone that will take a stand.
Yeah, it is sad, brother, enough. And this is closing. I was speaking to a brother of mine. He has one of his kids in one of the so-called Christian universities, and I asked him, hey, how your son doing? You know, son of a... Oh, man, I said, what happened? Oh, you don't want to know. I said, what's going on? They are teaching and they are questioning the Bible. They are questioning the sanctity of life and marriage. This, we're talking about a Christian so-called university, brother. So I told my brother, listen, you know, all you got to do is just keep on praying for your son. Yeah, because my son is coming here and he's questioning the Bible now. And this is in a Christian university. Mm-hmm. So we have to pray, brother, because the devil has people, lukewarm Christians, in places of privilege that they're not supposed to be there at all. They need to be removed because they are doing damage to the Christian community. And I call them, you know. They are lukewarm Christians that they haven't had an encounter. They see this Christianity as a profession, not as a calling. And that's the problem that we have, unfortunately. But the Bible is being questioned in Christian university, brother. That is crazy. And it's one of the signs of the last days as well. So we have to pray. God bless you, brother. I'm going to keep listening.
You're right. Thank you so much. God bless you. Before we take our next caller, let me read a headline in one paragraph. The apostate church of today. No gospel at all, this subtitle says. Sometimes I feel like a broken record, this writer says, and sometimes I'm sure many of you reading what I write feel like I am a broken record. But the truth is the truth, no matter how many times I say it, and a lie is still a lie, no matter how many times we try to repeat it. And he goes on to talk about what he's finding in the churches and in spiritual life in America, where a different gospel is being proclaimed and not the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm looking at another headline. Abominable hireling mocks God. There are those who want to test their steel, per se, when it comes to the things of the Lord, like the tyrants that remain in sin. They want to consistently and consciously push for what the Lord clearly condemns. And he goes on to talk about how those of yesteryear, and they continue today to push for sin and reject the Word of God. Our national parks are being taken over by the sodomite agenda. Headline, gay people are literally taking over the national park system. The radical left has pushed itself literally into every aspect of our lives so that they can jam their agenda down our throats. The latest inappropriate act turned Yosemite National Park, one of the oldest, dearest national monuments, into a debauched party to push their corrupt sexual agenda, and Joe Biden park rangers were only too happy to help them carry it out. I believe we have Kevin on the line. Kevin, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes. Dr. James D. Kennedy, do you remember him? First
yes, I do.
Presbyterian Church, Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Yes.
He wrote Evangelism Explosion, and he had a church that was dead. He had a church that was dead. He didn't know what to do, and he cried out to God, and God gave him the revelation of evangelism explosion, using the laws of God to bring people to Yeshua. The church is dead because they're not preaching the good news, Yeshua Mashiach. They're going out on the doors, knocking out on the doors, and calling people out how they will stand before God if they aren't keeping the Ten Commandments of God. So that's why it's a communist revolution to destroy our nation. I remember the blue law. Way It's a revolution to destroy our nation, but the church can only be revived through prayer, through fasting, through evangelism, and doing the works of Yeshua Mashiach, Jesus Christ, casting out demons, healing the sick, fasting and praying, and you know, even Charles Finney, the great preacher, pastor, he had 50 people fasting and praying for souls when he was preaching the gospel.
Amen.
I mean, this is the kind of dedication. It takes work. It takes work to do the works of God, you know?
Yes.
And faith without works is dead, and we have dead faith in the church. Okay.
Brother, I couldn't have communicated it any more poignantly, any more clearly than you have done, and I am thankful for that. It is absolutely true. I'm looking at a headline that says, appalling. U.S. parents warned about what Biden thinks of their beliefs. Some in Washington, D.C. are convinced that most Americans are not qualified to parent their own children. They haven't been shy about saying so, leading to the charge, the line of thinking that none of the presidents of the United States on June the 12th, as part of a focus on Pride Month, the White House posted a video on Twitter narrated by Joe Biden in which he says in part, these are our kids. They belong to us. They're ours. Not somebody else's kids. They're our kids. Goes on to talk about how the state should have control of the kids. And one of the problems, Kevin, you're exactly right, spot on, is that we have abandoned our responsibility as parents. We've abandoned our responsibility as Christians. We've abandoned our responsibility of worship. We've abandoned the Bible and gone for the world rather than the Word. And as a result of that, God's going to judge us as a nation. Kevin Ruther, thank you so much for your call. You're spot on, exactly right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today a subject that I believe every Christian, every patriot, every conservative ought to be interested in. Anti-Christian America. That's the America that we're living in today. And part and parcel of it is just as Kevin was just saying, that we've turned our backs on God and we're not in the Word, and the church has become a replica of what was historically the truth of God. Looking at the headline, Barna Report on Religion. Quote, we live in a world of competing ideas and worldviews. In an increasingly globalized and interconnected world, Christians are more aware and influenced by desperate views, that's separate, different views, than ever. But just how much have other worldviews crept into the Christian perspectives? Barna's research shows that only 17% of Christians who consider their faith important and attend church on a regular basis have a biblical worldview. In fact, this article is, ladies and gentlemen, the previous one to the recent Barna report, and the recent one has lowered that number to 6%, not even 17%. Barna conducted a study among practicing Christians in America to gauge how much these tenets of worldviews include new spirituality, secularism, postmodernism, and Marxism have influenced the Christian belief about the way the world is and the way the world ought to be. Here's the frightening thing, ladies and gentlemen. 61% in Barna's survey, 61% agree with the idea rooted in new spirituality. 54% agree with postmodern views. 36% agree with the ideas associated with Marxism. 29% believe in the ideas based on secularism. And that's looking at the Christian church. So if the Christian church have taken the position that we can embrace Marxism, we can embrace secularism, we can embrace postmodernism, we can embrace spiritualism, where does that leave the Word of God? Where does that leave the faithful Christian and what we ought to do as Christians? Looking at the headline, disturbing religious discrimination. Church reportedly gets cut from food service programs for poor kids. Just because, this is a long article, but it's about a school that for 20 years been getting federal funds to provide food for poor kids in their community. Now, because it's Christian and because in their Christian beliefs, they're not going to modify their policy to hire homosexuals as employees, they're being cut from that agenda. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in trouble as a nation. We're looking at an anti-Christian America today. We need to pray. We need to turn back to God. We need to recognize that through God, it's our only hope. We need to be salt and light in a darkened, decaying, dying society. We need to stand up. We need revival in America today where Christians turn back to God. Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is